Hello and welcome to show number 5 of The Glider Show, the audio podcast about learning to fly gliders. I'm your host Sam, and I'm learning to fly in the southwest of the UK from a small and friendly club on the very western edge of Dartmoor. I invite you to follow me week by week on my journey from clubhouse refugee to get out there and do it, solo glider pilot. In the news this week. Now first up, well, I'm one third of the way to solo, so says my instructor anyway. So now I'm about 17 flights into my training, and 16 of those have been around about 5 minutes or less. Only one has been above 5 minutes. That was when I had the privilege of experiencing soaring in nice conditions, a very warm and pleasant day in late September, where, thanks to my instructor, we found some lift and I got a full 40 minutes flying. And even in that time, I could tell straight away that this clearly was what gliding was all about. So a third of the way through, which really has crept up and surprised me a little bit to imagine that I'm already a third of the way through it. That means by summer, I could be getting ready to go solo. Also in the news connected to that, last weekend saw a major milestone. And that was the first time on a flight that I did everything myself. And an event that really crept up and happened without much of a fanfare, which is probably just as well, but more on that a bit later on. And finally in the news this week, when you start gliding, there's an awful lot that you don't know that you need to know. And I found out quite a bit of it the hard way. But I came across a gem of a thread for the newcomer to gliding, and this is a thread I really wish I had found before I started. This is about 7 pages long, but it has loads of great information for the newcomer. So if you are brand new to gliding or you're thinking about learning to glide, I do recommend that you take a look at this thread. I'll put the link on the show notes. So on to show number 5, and in this week's show I'll be regaining my confidence by packing in 5 flights on a single day, and not a moment too soon. I'll be pilot in command for the first time, and I'll be spending one more rain-soaked Sunday in the classroom. So it's Sunday, December 16th. It's another one of the club one-day courses, and there's about 5 or 6 of us here today. We're up at the east end of the airfield, and the guys are just bringing the K-13 round. We're not bringing the full launch point out today because the ground is very boggy, so the choice has been made to use the Land Rover as a mobile launch point, which is a good move, actually. Beautiful, bright day. Mercifully, it's not raining, but you can hear the quad struggling in the mud there. There's a lot of cloud building up and a lot of distant haze over the moors reducing visibility. Yeah, so that's the first flight of the day just gone in the K-13, and I can see some tiny bits of blue far off in the distance, and actually it is looking a fraction better. What's coming looks a tiny bit better than what's currently here, so we might get a few more launches, but it is a bit grotty, so anyway, you know, it might just be good enough to do a few takeoffs and circuits. And actually, in a funny sort of way, what I recognise is there's a part of me that's tempted to wimp out and just stay helping out and not doing the actual flying. And I think what causes that actually is my reluctance to get it wrong, and you know, simply because I found flying for real quite hard. You know, there's a temptation to say, actually, you know, I can convince myself I'm doing something by sitting here in a car and helping to launch. So there I was, secretly hoping for the rain to set in so that we could go back to the clubhouse. But thankfully, the weather had other ideas, and it stayed good enough to fly. And with Chief Flying Instructor Don Puttock on hand, there was no chance that we were going to miss out on any possibility of flying that day. Don's approach is to turn up and set up and get ready to go. And if there's a gap in the weather, we'll be ready to exploit it.
Go ahead. Northfield. I'll just walk across and get it out. If you could send her a retrieve, over.
Roger that. Retrieve. Yeah.
Cable retrieve.
What do you want me to do? Do you want me to stay nice and dry and?
Well, you can stay nice and dry in there.
Oh, you want to do it in here? Okay. Okie dokie.
You are radio less.
Yeah, that's okay. Look, blue sky. Woo. Call me what you like, I don't mind. It's on record.
Okay, so when you're ready, checks, attach the cable. You'll be doing the ground run this time, and the launch. I'll be probably jabbering away a lot more.
It's probably good if you don't look behind you, because I found that when you do, you're gone.
Look, as long as he's in the back seat, I'm happy, all right?
Father was a sheik.
He can be doing what he likes as long as he's still there. That's all I care about. Right, see, controls. Okay.
Yeah.
Full range of movement. Everything's in order.
But are they moving in the correct sense?
Are they moving in the correct sense?
Okay, so you have... control. Looking ahead. Yeah, you want to hold it just about there, nice and lightly, thumb and forefinger. So you don't want it bouncing out of your hand, obviously, but you want to be gripping it too. Like the ground run will take a little while, it takes some time. Just looking ahead, your left hand will release. Anything goes wrong at all, pull that. Looking ahead. Steer. Keep the wings level. Balancing on the wheel. We're airborne. Allow it to transition into high mode. Raise the nose a bit. And more. Okay, left wing down now. Hold that. Left wing. Yeah, that's it. You got it. Keep going. Keep going. You're getting near the top now. Notice the speed starting to go. Lower the nose. Do that promptly so it doesn't use the stall off the top. Okay, and then trim.
Okay. Okay.
Good. Whew. So now we'll just maintain this heading for a moment. We're just a little bit lower than we were on the previous launch, so we'll probably be going into a fairly lazy circuit in a moment or two. La 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 la.
That's a first for our podcast.
Eh?
Don Puttock singing opera in the back.
Yeah, I only sing when I'm nervous, that's the thing, though. Okay, let's make a left turn here, get the field in view, but remember we've got a crosswind, so we don't want to be drifted back towards it. Okay, I'm rolling out. That's good. Get it trimmed, look ahead. The wings aren't quite level there, so you are turning left a little bit. Yeah. That's better.
Okay.
Now let's get it the speed sorted, so 55 knots. Flaps not fitted, undercarriage fixed, speed 55 knots and trim.
Good. Trimmed. Nearly trimmed.
You see we're a little closer in this time, we're fine. We continue on down. We don't want to lose sight of the landing area, so when that starts to happen, just put a turn in anyway, 45 degrees, just so you can see where you intend to go. Okay, rolling out there. Now you can see the field.
Yeah.
Check the speed. That's nice. And then anticipate your next turn and turn on the final. Centralise the rudder, you're leaving the rudder in there, not so good. That's nice. Okay, I'm doing the brakes. Just so you maintain the speed, 55 knots. Keep an eye on that and keep it straight. So we need to intercept that approach path, don't we? So maintain that heading.
Okay.
And then you'll slowly work your way back onto track.
Maybe I won't.
Yeah, about there. Nice and relaxed now.
Okay.
A little bit more to the right, straighten her up. That's nice. And now look up the field now, holding it off. Off, 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 off as long as you can. Good. Now steer with the rudder.
Sorry, that was a
wrong
bit...
way. I think. Right, okay. Good. So,
Okay.
Good.
That was quite interesting on the last bit.
Yeah. You just need to be careful about on the final turn there. We rolled into the turn nice, you stick and rudder together, and then when you rolled out, you left the rudder in. So stick and rudder to the left like that, and then dink, the stick came back, but of course you need to bring the rudder with it as well. So stick and rudder left, stick and rudder right. You do leave a small amount of rudder in on the turn, but it's quite small.
Okay.
You'll know you've got it about right if the string is about straight.
Okay.
Don't want you to be mesmerised by the string, but if once you're in the turn, if the string is reasonably straight, then you're about right.
Well, my achievement for that one was not looking at the wings.
Yes.
That was the main thing.
Yeah. And you can see how on the takeoff, that general principle of keeping the wings level.
It didn't feel as bad as it didn't feel as hard as I thought it was going to actually.
The point I was going to make was on the takeoff, the principles are the same as also looking ahead. Left hand on the release. I've got my hand on the release as well because it's so important. If the wing goes down and you don't do something about it, I will.
Okay.
We won't have time to discuss it. Keep the wings level.
Oh. I have it. Is that me?
I think so. sort of kicking around the rudder. But it was clearly the power wasn't coming on, but
sorry.
We were going through. I don't know. There may have been a problem at the winch as
well. I have my hand on it, so it may have been me. So
no. Well, we needed to come off anyway. But if we don't go straight, I mean really straight, we're resisting the winch. The winch won't be able to deliver the power because we're creating. We'll have a look at the ground in a minute. We're creating a plow. It just won't accelerate.
Boo!
So it needs to be appropriate use. So we start to go sideways, at that last bit, I just took over because it's very easy to ground loop, and then you can, strangely enough, you know, even from that position, break the glider.
Yeah.
So
well, there we have it, on recorded for posterity. Oh well, I come back to the launch point with my aching leg. As you probably could hear from that, had a bit of an interesting set of circumstances there. One aborted launch, which took me a bit by surprise, but we got away with it. Just broke only a bit of the glider. Well, I'm tired, and it's the end of the day on this one-day course. And it's been really productive. I've got 5 flights out of it. Could have had 6, but my knee and a particular part of the K13 airframe don't get on very well together. So I've cried off after 5 flights with a bit of a sore joint in my knee. And I'm just sitting at the launch point waiting for the K13 flown by Roger to go overhead and do a hangar landing. And then it's up to the hangar in the Land Rover to give the glider a wash and put it away, and then be home for a nice roast dinner with my missus and the boys, and first roast dinner with our new cooker, so I'm looking forward to that, and an evening not doing anything and resting up on this leg. But it's been a really productive day, and I've been challenged mightily because there's been a strong crosswind the whole day, and yeah, it's been eventful, and I've learned a lot.
Now, the following weekend, I was again booked in on a Club One Day course.
Well, good morning. This is Sunday, the 23rd of December. The weather forecast would have had you believe that there's going to be no flying today, and maybe flyable, but I suspect the runway is going to be, or the airfield is going to be, too wet. It's been raining most of the weekend up to this point, and I would be surprised if we flew today, but they're quite die-hard up there at Dartmoor Gliding Society, and I think that the principle is that if the air is flyable, they'll get the gliders out. So I better get up there and assist with that process to see what's happening today.
Firstly, as I said before, as you're flying along, you will come to some sinking air. So this is where you need a bit of nerve sometimes. You know, you're going out for a thermalite here. You're getting towards it, you're thinking, I can just about get there, and just when you're thinking everything's all right, you start to hit
sink. I've got to run to home.
And a lot of people turn around and say, oh, that's no good, and go back and come back to the airfield and land after 6 minutes, and that's it. You need to know that if there's some sink, there's going to be some lift further on. That's probably what's happening.
Yeah, if we take that too literally, we're going to have some more field landings, but all right.
Well,
but I
yeah.
know what you mean. I don't know what you mean, because it's if you're pushing it, I think you can just get there, and then you hit sink and think, oh.
Yeah, well.
But perhaps if you're brave and just go an extra 100 yards, 50 yards, you might get through it.
Yeah, well, this is where the judgment comes in. I'm not suggesting that
if you push it up.
Yeah. You know, you need to be careful. But the point
it's quite
is...
quite a frequent finding that.
Yeah. And I've flown with people. They've flown to about this point here. The sink's just dropping off, and they say, oh, I've had enough, I'm going back. And then they fly back through the sink. And every time we get back to the airfield, without any problem. But, you know, had they just persevered a bit longer and really got underneath, then they would have started to climb a bit.
5 minute flight, yeah.
Okay.
How far might that be from the outside of that diagram to the middle of that left?
Well, they all vary. If you're in Texas, this is probably about half a mile wide or something. But, in actual dimensions, what are we talking about? 400 metres or something? It's difficult to tell.
I wouldn't say that even knowing the distance helps you.
No, exactly.
It's the time.
That's what I'm saying.
It's seconds.
Yeah.
If you're
how many seconds are you prepared to hang on? And I think it's generally somewhere between.
The useful thing about down here is if you've spotted that you're in a bit of rising air and everything, and you turn and you're not terribly well centred, because of the way the air is coming in towards the centre of the toroid, you tend to get self-centering, okay? Which is unusual. but in this situation, you know, it tends to... the air is coming in towards the centre, so it all helps. There are other reasons why thermals generally aren't self-centering, but I'll come on to that later. In the centre, you've got this lovely, strong core. You can circle nicely there, and you know, then that's the time when you're quite well banked. And as you get higher, the air does the opposite to lower down. It starts to move out. So you've got diverging air, and it's very easy to kind of get blown off to one side and lose the remaining bit of air.
I'm the weak link in this process at the moment.
No. You need to react sort of fairly quickly in real life. So this is probably quite realistic. I think also you're probably having to fight the effects of the thermal as well with your controls. You notice we kind of lost it a bit.
Yeah, it's gone.
So now what you need to do is just open the turn out a little bit and just do a more gentle turn. So still turn. Right. Keep the turn going. Oh, actually, no, you seem to
that's
go straight
fine.
Into it. That's lovely. Yeah,
okay.
That's well done. We're actually in the sinking air now.
Well,
as the Vario comes up, reducing the angle of bank. See if we can get that. That's good. Don't get fly straight.
Oh, okay.
That's it. What happened to the left rudder then?
I don't know, but. there are times when I'm banked.
Mm-hmm.
And the stick feels like it's right of centre,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still banked turning mm-hmm. left.
I did explain to you, sometimes you might need out of turn aileron to stop the angle of bank from increasing in different types of glider.
Right.
And if we were flying in a T21, that's quite often the case. hopefully you won't ever fly in a T-21.
Why wouldn't I want to?
After you've gone solo, okay. Because they're absolute cars. Great fun. It's the way the air cadets used to learn.
The Slingsby.
Yes. But the outside wing will tend to tip you further and further into the turn, and you need to have out of turn aileron. Not normally with the K30.
So looking back on those two weekends, I think the thing that really stands out for me is having become the pilot in command of a glider, I really had to stop and play it over again in my mind just to make sure that what I'd done actually sank in. And I think it happened so quickly and without any announcement that it can be easy to let it pass by without really marking the importance of the occasion. And it is a pretty big event or a pretty big milestone in your journey to become a solo glider pilot. And I remember sitting there in the cockpit and the importance or the significance of that suddenly sinking in. Whoa, wait a minute, I'm going to do all of this stuff. And I could really feel the nervousness sort of rushing through me at that point. And then you just get on and do it because, of course, the slack has been taken up on the winch and there's really no time to protest. And I think that's the beauty of it. You're shoved into that situation. Your instructor is confident you can do it and you just have to get on and do it. So it's a pretty big milestone, and I had to give myself a little pat on the back for having done it. I think it really restored a lot of confidence, and I think that the value of that single one-day training course and five flights in a single day, really hard to underestimate the value of that. Now this week, I wanted to make sense of the stick and the rudder, or more specifically, stick and rudder coordination. Now if you're a newcomer to gliding, you need to learn to coordinate the stick and rudder in flight in order to reduce the amount of drag the aircraft has. Most importantly, reducing adverse yaw in the aircraft when you're making turns or manoeuvring, but also how to use the stick and rudder on the ground. That, for me, was one of the areas that I was most nervous about, certainly on the ground run. My first experience of following through with my instructor was noticing these huge movements that he was making when the winch cable tightened up and the aircraft started its run down the airfield. By the time I got to take charge of that myself, what I learned was that the thing you have to do is to use the rudder to steer the aircraft along the ground, but also make quite big inputs to the stick to keep the wings level. And of course, the reason that those movements are so big at the beginning of the ground run is because the control surfaces, the rudder and the ailerons, have very little effect at low speed because there's no airflow going over them. They increase their efficiency as the aircraft speeds up when being pulled along by the winch, and so the inputs need to get progressively smaller. And it's something you can only learn through practice. And in the air, I was finding it quite difficult to coordinate the rudder inputs and the stick inputs at the same time. It's a difficult one for a newcomer because there's no way of showing you how much you need. It's something that you have to discover by doing. So I spent quite a bit of time this week practicing on the simulator to go back to basics, if you like, and find out just what it is that I was doing right or wrong. Having spent that time, I felt a lot more comfortable afterwards and felt like it was valuable simulator time. But I also wanted to come out and do a little bit of research, as I do every week on these things. One of the things I learned looking through some of this information, something I hadn't thought of before, and that is whether or not the pilot has the right posture or is relaxed enough. Now, I realized in the simulator session this week that my inputs were almost always too big and too quick. Because I'm thinking that I'm not very good at this stick rudder coordination, I'm usually very tensed up and I'm certainly nervous when I'm actually in the air, because I've got a little voice in my head saying that I'm not very good at this. What I also learned was, whereas in gliding, the correct alignment of the rudder and ailerons is indicated by the yaw string, a little piece of wool that's stuck to the top of the canopy. In general aviation, that's indicated on the instrument panel by a little glass instrument with a ball that is centralized when the plane's in the correct alignment, and hence the term in aviation, step on the ball. Whichever direction the ball goes to, then they step on the rudder in that direction. I was interested to find a quote from a Boeing 707 pilot when asked the 10 rules for flying, he said, 1. Keep the ball in the middle. 2. Keep the ball in the middle. 3. Keep the ball in the middle, and so on and so on. I also found some schools of thought who felt that it was right to use the rudder first, before even using the ailerons in turns, which is an interesting point of view. Might be worth experimenting with in flight. I'm not sure how my instructor would feel about that. But this school of thought also, and this may be for powered flight only, I'm not sure, but also thought that it was a good idea to use the rudder only in turns of less than 5 degrees, so that, as we saw in an earlier show, using the rudder produces a secondary effect of banking the aircraft, turning the aircraft. And so for very small turns, it's possible to just use the rudder and not the ailerons at all. One thing I did find in my research into stick and rudder use was a book called Stick and Rudder, An Explanation of the Art of Flying. Even though it's more than 50 years old, this book, it's universally acclaimed. And I've put a link to this particular book on the show notes. It's available through Amazon. It got a huge number of positive reviews in Amazon, so well worth taking a look at. It covers all the basics of flying in the simplest possible terms. So that's it for episode 5 of The Glider Show, and it's the last one for 2012. I'm looking forward to 2013, particularly because the days are getting longer and hopefully drier, and with luck, 2013 will be the year that I go solo. The Glider Show is still a relatively new podcast, so there's plenty of room for improvement, and of course that's where you come in. If you'd like to share your experiences about gliding or comment on anything you've heard in the show so far, then please do get in touch with me. If you've got a smartphone or a PC, then you are just a couple of clicks away from taking part in the Glider Show. There are several ways you can do this. For example, you can send me an email to ukglider@hotmail.com, tweet me at ukglider, or better yet, record and email me an MP3 audio file that I can include in a future show. Check the Take Part page on the website at ukglider.com for more information on how to take part. Music for the show is Cloud 9 by Norwegian slide guitar virtuoso Finn. There's a link to his Facebook page in the show notes too. And his music is sourced by Music Alley, the home of PodSafe Music. And that's music that people making podcasts like me can include in our shows for free. Thank you for taking time to listen to The Glider Show. Don't forget that if you click on the subscribe to the show via iTunes button, you can get every new episode of the show downloaded automatically to your phone or PC. Once again, thanks for listening to The Glider Show. This is Sam Deeks wishing you a happy new year for 2013. Fly safe.